Crusaders, and welcome to another edition of Batman, the Animated Series Podcast. I'm your host, Alex Robson, and with me, as always, is my co-host, my brother, comic book artist and writer, and the guy who leaves all sorts of riddles and clues wherever he goes. It's Mr. Will Robson. Say hello, Will.
That was probably your weakest intro in terms of joke there.
I didn't write anything down, so I made it up on the spot.
That would be why.
Whoopsie.
The reason he gained so much weight over the past 10 years remains a riddle and a mystery. It's Mr. Will Robson. Say hello, Will.
Hey, he's writing on the spot. No, you are a writer.
We don't need you. Just, you know, you can just leave. I'll do the whole podcast myself. The episode was good. We liked it. Thank you for watching. Make sure you buy my book, Outbreaks. Oh, bye.
We both liked it, did we?
Oh, you didn't like it?
No, we'll wait and see when we get there.
You're such a prick. I bet you did like it. It used to be all the time, like, this is a good episode, bud. You showed me this episode as a teenager, being like, you guys see this episode, it's really good.
Well, you could change your mind. Anyway, how's the art life going? How's everything going in the world of comics and writing and drawing?
It's going okay. I've been putting together Outbreaks issue 2 because I've got to send it to print next month and get it posted because I'm launching issue 3 April 15th. But I got the colors in from Cyril for the new main cover that I drew, which I think looks awesome. I think I showed you that, right?
You did. It looks really good.
Thank you. With the Matrix and all the zombies behind him and the moon. And then the Walking Dead homage cover is completed now, so that looks awesome as well. And now I just got to wait for him to hand in 11 more pages colored of issue 2, and I'm waiting for Tony Moore to finish the main cover for issue 3. So it's getting close, and I think the due date is today for Tony Moore's cover, so I'm sitting with thumbs up my butt, waiting in anticipation for that. But what I'm doing is...
You almost want to say, give me more, Tony Moore, girl, you make me a cover.
Yes. I would have him do all my covers if I could afford it.
Well,
I'm not done.
I was going to say you've announced it on this podcast previously, but maybe it's someone's first time that they're hearing about Tony Moore and what's he working on and what's the collaboration. So why don't you just let someone quickly know, if they're first-time listener, what you're talking about.
Okay, so what I'm talking about is I am a professional comic book writer and artist. I work for Marvel, DC, Image, and every single comic book company you've ever heard of. I've probably worked for them. But I've been putting together my own little comic book on the side that I've been crowdfunding through Kickstarter that I'm extremely passionate about. And it's called Outbreaks, and it's a zombie anthology series, kind of like an ode to Creepshow or an ode to any of those old horror anthologies. But it's more like the show Black Mirror meets The Walking Dead, where Black Mirror revolves around different sort of interesting stories that all have to do slightly with technology. I'm doing the same thing, but every story slightly has to do with zombies. So I'm currently drawing right now. I've got, I just finished the inks for the second to last page of Deadeye Dick Part 2. And I'm finishing, hopefully I'll be done in 2 days with all of my art duties on issue 2, which would be amazing.
You just said duties.
Duties, poo, 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 farts, cum, all of that. Mixed together.
Buy my book.
Blood. Right. Deadeye Dick is a superhero noir thriller that's set in the late 1950s or 1960. I can't remember which day they made it. And that's a really fun sort of like, it's kind of like Daredevil meets The Walking Dead. That's what that book's kind of like. And then the main book is called Rotten Luck, which is a dark comedy about two guys locked in the drunk tank at the beginning of the zombie apocalypse. And like The Great Escape, they got to figure out how to bust out of there, bud. And I know you just saw that movie, so you're like, ah, Great Escape, I like that movie.
Yeah, I was like, I'm in.
Yeah, and then as it goes, I'll have new stories and things. But so Rotten Luck, which has been our main story, wraps in issue 3. So we've launched 2. The third one's coming out. That means that the next issue of Outbreaks, issue 4, is going to be a brand new story. And I have not decided yet what I want to do. Ooh. I don't know if I want to be the main artist on it yet. I've got like, I have probably 50 Outbreak stories that I want to do. Because my goal, I haven't even told you this recently. My goal is to get to 50 issues of Outbreaks. That's what
okay.
I want to do.
I like it.
Because I heard Tom McFarlane talk recently about, get to 50 issues of whatever you do, because then you get to collect it in a compendium and you get that for the rest of your life. You can reprint that. You can bring it anywhere. You can show that, hey, I've got a body of work here that you should pay attention to. So I was like, okay, Mr. Tom McFarlane, I'm going to do that. So my goal is to get to 50 issues. So I've only done 2, so 48 to go.
I mean, yeah, like I can't wait to see what story you choose next. I know obviously quite a few of them because you shared them with me or we've concocted them together. So yeah, I'm excited to see which one you choose, bud. That's really
cool. Thank you. Yeah, I'm leaning more towards a story right now that I've called Better Off Dead, and it's a world where a zombie who got to eat like 3 square meals a day starts getting like their mentality back and their humanity back, and it turns into a world where it's like, what if the zombies took back the world and pretended like it was like the 1950s and, oh hey there pal, how's it going, and like it's a normal society just run by zombies, and you know, there's a butcher shop full of human meat and all this stuff, but then there's a whole dark conspiracy and yada yada yada. That's a story that I'm leaning towards that I might draw myself, but that's going to be like a 6 or 7 issue long series, so
right,
it would be quite a commitment, so I haven't decided yet. Yeah, like I said, you and I have a couple of like short stories and things, and there's so many directions I can go. Like I want to do a Valentine's Day special. I want to introduce new hosts. Like I don't want it just to be the Maitre Z. I've got what was her name, the Gypsy, which is like a fortune like a traveling fortune teller.
Oh,
woman.
That's fun.
Because I just wanted to switch it up. I also want to do a summer special where it's like the Outbreak's drive-in theater, and just loads of stuff. Like it's a fun book, and whatever I make of this book is going right back into the book. Like for instance, with issue 2, we got overfunded by a couple of grand, so instead of pocketing that, nope, I hired fucking Tony Moore, the co-creator of The Walking Dead, to draw the cover for issue 3. So
there it is.
It's a true passion project, and I just cannot wait to keep making it for you. And I know a couple of you listeners actually have emailed me recently being like, how can I get Outbreaks? So I want to support this book, so thank you for that. The best thing to do is I'm keeping it right now exclusively to Kickstarter. So I'm launching the next one April 15th, so I hope you come out for that. It might get pushed to May 1st, depending if these covers get handed in or not. I don't know, but that's what's going on with me, and you'd start talking now.
Thanks for the cue. That all sounds excellent. Well done. That was a good plug. I've got a plug of our own for the podcast.
A bat plug?
A bat plug?
Ooh.
Last time we were talking about a live show, and since then I've had a few listeners already message and be like, I'm down, let me know, I'll be there, which is amazing. Now, it's obviously a start. It's not been enough of a response to be like, okay, we're definitely doing this. So I'll just keep on reminding people. We'll just test it out. We'll see how it goes. Like, I'll just keep on mentioning it every episode. We're thinking about doing a live show in June, which will take place in London. So we need probably around 25 to 30 people in attendance to make it worth it, i.e. meaning that we've got to pay for the venue, we've got travel expenses, things like that, that, you know, we want to be able to cover. We're not looking to be like, let's just bank a load of money off this. We're not trying to do that. We just want to be able to see how a live show goes. Now, we're looking at mid-June in London. The location is actually
I can't make that, bud. Sorry. Busy that day. All of mid-June, I'm busy.
Okay, well, fuck you. So the location is like in between King's Cross and Farringdon Station. So it's really close to two major stations in central London. So you'll be able to get there, hopefully. So if you're interested in coming to a live show of this podcast, it'll be happening in mid-June. In London, it will be watching Almost Got 'Em. So we'll watch the episode Almost Got 'Em, and then we'll obviously do the live show, we'll do the review, and then we've got all sorts of fun games that we do in this show. We do the Riddle Me This, William, and I could do Riddle Me This to the crowd, and I could ask questions. I've got the song game, which is like, can you name that episode and name that character that the song's for? We can do all of that stuff.
Yeah, and like we could do whoever guesses it live first gets a free signed copy of Outbreaks or something like that.
Love it. That's a great idea. So we've got lots of cool things to do. And of course we've got our You've Got Mail segment, and we'll be able to have people in the crowd, you know, and participate that way. So we're not looking to just sit down and talk to people and then bugger off. You know, it would be like a really cool participation. It'd be great to try and see how the episode goes live, but also just to watch an episode, probably one of the best, if not the best episode of Batman, is Almost Got 'Em. Be great to watch that with everybody. And then hang out afterwards, have a drink, have some food.
You could buy us fags, you could buy us drinks, cocaine, whatever you want to bring is fine.
I mean, whatever people want to do. If they just want to say hi and buy a drink, that's fine. But yeah, we'll obviously take all of these people's interests through social media or through email. So at BatmanTASpod, which is right there, if you want to message us on Instagram or Facebook or TikTok or whatever, let us know if you're interested, or if you want to email us at BatmanTASpod@gmail.com and let us know. So I'll be doing this for the next month, just mentioning this. If there's enough, then we'll have ticket sales that we'll be able to go, and of course we'll sell tickets at the door. And yeah, hopefully this happens. If not, then we'll just do a regular Almost Got Him review and I will cry myself to sleep. All right. Here we go.
If we don't do it, it's fine. We can always do it in the future when we actually, you know, build up more of a fan base. It's fine.
Yeah, exactly. As we go, we'll build up more.
So you guys, you're not good enough. Start spreading the word. Tell your nan. Tell your nan's nan.
Yeah, exactly. They might be interested. Who knows?
I loved Batman.
Yeah. I love Batman, cocaine, and booze. I'm in. I'm coming.
Me too, Grandma. That sounds great.
All right, bud. Well, yeah, we'll see how it goes with that. But let's go on to our next category, which is cast that character.
Who will they cast in this part?
Okay, every time we come across a new character in this show, we cast them in our own fan-casted live-action universe. So, if this show is being made today but shot live-action, who would be who? And today we've got Josiah Wormwood, who's a one-off character, but certainly worth casting. I am going to ask you to go first because I had a really tough time doing this.
I was thinking of the character. I'm like, okay, it's a smug guy who thinks that he's more intelligent than anybody. And it's someone who really gets off at other people, you know, under his spell, under his web. And the moment I said the words, like, it's a guy that gets off, right? And I was like, who do I know is someone that loves to get off? And I thought of Always Sunny in Philadelphia, and that's why I've casted Glenn Howerton as Wormwood, because I could just see Dennis thinking that he's the smartest motherfucker in the room. He's going to catch Batman, get his cowl, and he's all like, but the moment he's backed in a corner, he can go absolutely insane and crazy. And
yes. Yeah,
that's why Glenn Howerton is my choice for Wormwood.
Buddy, you've done it again. I mean,
thank you.
That's such a good casting choice. He is a great actor, and of course, like, you want to see him come back for more than one role, but this role is really perfect for him, especially thinking about that Dennis persona where he can be really creepy, and like when he turns and you know, he's got, Josiah Wormwood's got this like weird whispery, like, I'm a creepy guy, and that's exactly
what... I'm a golden god.
Yes, exactly. That's what Dennis does. And he's like, because of the implication. You know, like things like that, I can see absolutely Glenn Howerton doing. All right. I mean, that's great. I wanted someone with like a widow's peak. That was the only other thing. I was like, include someone that's like, you know, receding hairline and all that. Not that I, you know, have any idea what that's like. But
hey, I want receding hairline representation
maybe. Yeah. But I had a hard time. I chose, at one point I had Doug Jones, who plays like a lot of creatures in movies, but he's a very creepy, wiry guy.
What, from What We Do in the Shadows and yes. Hellboy and that stuff.
Yes, and
he's a terrific actor. That's good casting as well, but he's a bit old.
He's a bit old, which is why I chucked him out. And then I was like, well, who's really cocky and like thinks he's smart, but he's not, and receding hairline. And I had Jeremy Piven as my final choice, who's Artie in Entourage, the agent, you know, like the agent.
He's,
but
yeah, he's probably too old now as well. Wasn't he like 50 in Entourage?
Again, I was like, I'm
not
happy with
like a 70-year-old man now.
I don't know how old he is, but he's probably aged out of the role. But yeah, Glenn Howerton, I mean... that's nailed. The moment you said it, I was like, of course that's the choice. So yeah, easy peasy, Josiah Wormwood. And he would do so well, like leaving those riddles as well. Mm-hmm. And like, you know, just the way he speaks, that's perfect. Okay, locked in. Josiah Wormwood, played by Glenn Howerton.
Now you say another word and I swear to God I will dice you into a million little pieces and put those pieces in a box, a glass box, that I will display on my mantle. All right. Now that that's settled, we can have a normal conversation.
All right, buddy. Now we've done that, you ready to review this episode?
Let's do it.
This episode is called The Cape and Cowl Conspiracy. It came out on October 14th, 1992, directed by Frank Parr, written by Elliot S. Magan, and animation by Dongyang Animation. Featuring Kevin Conroy as Batman Bruce Wayne, Bob Hastings as Commissioner Gordon, Bud Cort as Wormwood, John Rhys-Davies as Yosek, Gail Heidemann as the Matron, and Mark Taylor as McWhirter. We got honorable mentions here. Dongyang animated this episode, and they previously animated the episodes that we've reviewed, which were Nothing to Fear, I've Got Batman in My Basement, Two-Face Part 2, The Forgotten, See No Evil, Joker's Favor, Eternal Youth, Appointment in Crime Alley, and the most recent, Perchance to Dream. Director Frank Parr has been credited previously on this podcast in our Be a Clown review, as well as being a guest on the show where we get the chance to talk to him about his work on Batman and all his other animated shows that he worked on. So go back and check out those episodes if you want to hear more about his career. And then finally, writer Elliot S. Magan makes his one and only BTAS debut in this episode. His other writing and credits include one episode of X-Men, the animated series, and the Make-A-Wish episode of Spider-Man, the animated series.
That's a good episode. That was the one when we did the podcast, you were like, I'm not looking forward to that piece of shit episode. I'm like, buddy, I remember it being good. And you were like, oh, that's like one of the best episodes of the whole show.
Whoa, that was an exaggeration. I didn't say one of the best episodes. I was surprised at how decent it was compared to previous reviewings. Mm-hmm. Because, I mean, it is about like a girl Make-A-Wish, Spider-Man goes there, and it's kind of, yeah, it's, upon thinking about it, it was better than I thought it was going to be. The reverse happened for me with this episode. But still, to continue, Elliot, the writer, is best known for his work in comics, actually. He wrote the comic that this episode is based off of. So he wrote that comic and then wrote this episode, as well as known for his work in Action Comics, specifically Superman, where he's credited for creating LexCorp and the backstory for Krypton in the Silver Age.
Krypton.
So yeah, I mean, that's some pretty key pivotal pieces of lore for Superman there that this dude's created. Mm. Acting creds now. All returning characters have been credited previously on this podcast in their first appearance, such as Kevin Conroy as Batman or Bob Hastings as Commissioner Gordon in the episode on Leather Wings. So go back and listen to that episode if you want to learn more about those voice actors. As far as new voice actors go, we've got Bud Cort, who plays Josiah Wormwood. Bud Cort is also known for playing Harold in Harold and Maud, Private Boone in MASH, Bill Ubel in The Life Aquatic, and finally, he is the very, very creepy voice of the Toy Man in the DC Animated Universe. And I forgot about that until I watched this episode, and I was like, where do I know that voice? And then when I looked it up, I was like, of course, because he takes his Wormwood voice and just dials up the creepiness even more for Toy Man, and it's so unnerving when Toy Man shows up in Superman. He's a great character in that show. I really like that character. Mark-El Taylor, who plays McWhirter, plays Dr. Niles in Inner Space, Don Forrester in Honey, I Shrunk the Kids, Jerry Manley in Arachnophobia, and Officer Kirkwood in Homeward Bound. I put that in because I was like, I love Homeward Bound, and I know exactly who that actor is, even though he's plays such a minor role in this, just the dude at the start. Mm. I was like, love me some Homeward Bound. Always good to stick on and have a cry when Peter, as he's coming off of the hill.
Ah, Peter, leave me here.
No, not Uncle Ben.
Peter.
Although they sound similar.
Someone should intercut like Tobey Maguire looking over like the dog in the hole, just being like, leave me, Peter.
Or Uncle Ben's voiceover over the dog when he's like coming up over the hill. He's just like, Peter. Peter, is that you?
You loved like that it. Movie as a kid.
I still love that movie. It's a good movie. And then finally, I don't know if you realize this or not. I'll see if you knew this. John Rhys-Davies plays Yosek in this episode.
I can tell.
So you did recognize him. Okay.
Immediately.
Yeah. So he's known for playing the Brine King in the Aquaman movies as some of his latest work. He's also General Leonard Pushkin in the James Bond film The Living Daylights. He's Sala in the Indiana Jones movies. And finally, he is Gimli in Lord of the Rings. I love his character in this, and I almost wish that we got more Yosek in the future, because we don't get any more Yosek. And I was yoking for some Yosek.
Yeah, no, he was great. It was so nice to hear his voice. It's just, the very, like, the the deep tones that he has are just pleasurable to hear.
Yeah, especially the like the way he would speak to Wormwood. I mean, I know most of the time, actually, all the time he's speaking to Wormwood, it was Batman, but still, it was obviously John Rhys Davies doing the voice. And the way he would like deliver some of those, I was like, that's so like Gimli Sala from Indiana Jones sounding. I can just hear him doing that. Bad dates. It's the Indiana Jones reference. The episode for Utility Belt of Fun Facts. The episode is based on the August 1975 comic from Detective Comics, The Cape and Cowl Death Trap by Elliot S. Magan. In pre-production, the original script was to have someone steal the cape and cowl and impersonate Batman whilst on a crime rampage. What do you think about that?
It's a tale as old as time. I mean, they do. They did that in Spider-Man and everything.
They did.
Chameleon. It's like a classic thing being like, that's not me doing that. It's someone proposed as me. Yeah, it's been done.
And also, that's what the first episode is kind of about, right? Like, the Man-Bat is mistaken for being Batman. And everyone thinks Batman's stealing pharmaceutical stuff. So, yeah, it's already been done in a way. But, yeah, I wouldn't have liked that either. Next up, this episode features the first appearance of the Bat Signal in the DCAU.
Yes, it does, yeah.
Yeah, that was a cool little surprise.
And what did he say? He said something like, oh, I don't think the budget people wouldn't like this, or whatever he says.
Oh, well, it happens to be a quiz question for later, so I'm not going to tell you.
I don't know what the funding people, and I was like, oh, I bet Wayne Manor funded that shit, or Wayne Enterprises.
Yeah, through some, like, I don't know, shadow company or something like that.
Yeah.
And then finally, Bruce Timm and Eric Radomski originally didn't want the Bat Signal in the show, but Alan Burnett kept on insisting, and according to Bruce Timm, they compromised on it.
What's the compromise? It's in the show.
Yeah, I guess the compromise was like, fine, we'll finally put it in. Like, maybe they were putting up a fight for however many episodes.
And why would you be anti-Bat Signal?
I don't know. Maybe they just wanted to be different, or maybe they thought it didn't fit. But you need the Bat Signal. It's such it's like, if you're doing a Batman show or anything Batman, it's like Batcave, Batmobile, Bat Signal. Like, you need those things.
And Batman.
Batman. Absolutely.
Yeah, that'd be like, yeah, all right, we want to do this Batman show, but no Batmobile. I hate it. It'd be like, all right, well, that's your opinion, mate. Batman is for everybody, so give me my goddamn symbol.
It's like, what's his face? John Peters, when he met with Kevin Smith about writing the Superman movie, and he's like, I don't want him in the cape, and I don't want him to fly because he looks too faggy. And you're like, wow, that's what he said. That's
faggy?
The quote. That's the quote from Kevin Smith. Yeah.
Oh, yep. The 90s were a different time.
Very different time. Speaking of the 90s, and that's when this episode came out. What did you think of this episode?
I enjoyed it. I thought it was good. I don't know why you dislike it so much.
I wouldn't say so much, but I actually found myself being like, I don't know if I like this whole plot. Like,
it's got a great twist ending. It's a lovely ending.
It does have a cool twist ending, which,
and Batman's so cool in this. Batman smiles because he's like interrogating somebody and having fun, and then like the fact that he teams up with Gordon, being like, Gordon's like, hey, it's great that you capture all these people, but I need something I can stick to this motherfucker to put him away, and they figure it out in a really fun way.
Yeah, I think it's more Batman figures it out than Gordon, but yeah, I know what you mean. And I didn't hate it, but the one thing I was like, I just wish it was a Riddler episode. I really do.
Hmm.
I wish it was Riddler and not.
So that's what you're hung up about then.
Yeah, it's just, I'm like, Josiah Wormwood, I'm like, why introduce him and why do this? I know it's because the writer of that comic also wrote this episode, so that makes sense.
Yeah, so
he can
get some fucking royalties in the future. Very smart move.
Yeah, but then just make it the Riddler and you still get, it's still the story.
Mm-mm-mm. I mean, nowadays it's different. If you co-create a character, you can see a higher percentage of royalties from stuff. Like, if, let's say any of the characters I invented for Marvel and DC got into the movies, I think you first get like a flat rate of like $5,000 or something. I remember a friend of mine, like, he helped create someone's like grandma and they showed up in a movie. He's like, oh, I randomly got a check for like $5,000. So if he was thinking about that, like every appearance as well, by the way, of that character, you get like that money.
Yeah, I don't know if he, but to be honest, my credits don't say if he created the character or not. He just wrote the comic. So whether that was the first time Wormwood appeared or not, I don't know. If it is, then that makes sense that he'll get royalties because obviously it's his character that they're using in the show. But if not, then just make it a Riddler episode because it is such a Riddler plot. It really is. Mm-hmm. Look at it. It's like the riddles and like it's kind of Zodiac and the death traps. I'm like, that could be a Riddler plot. I'm trying to figure out who Batman is, along with getting the cape and cowl, like, and outsmarting him. Like, I can see Edward Nygma just being the perfect villain for that. And then instead we get this guy who, like, I think Wormwood is all right, but he speaks like a right fucking nerd. Like, the way, like, he's that type of guy who would, like, quote some obscure poem on a first date, or probably call her milady as well. You know what I mean? Like, hello, milady. Just, yeah, basically.
You're
yeah.
just calling him an incel then.
Yeah, because, and the way he's just like, I want your cape and cowl. And the way he like does all of that was, it was kind of fun, but also I got tired of it like pretty quickly.
Well, that's why we're happy for Batman to catch him in the end, right? Because he's a pretentious little git.
Yeah, I guess Batman is playing him, as he said. You played me the whole time!
He beat him the best way possible. This guy thinks he's smarter than anybody. He even lets him think that he beat Batman. So, you know, he must have fucking blew tons of loads after he got that cape and cowl. That cape and cowl was white afterwards. Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's just, he's like fucking the eye hole. Like, oh!
Batman's like, I'm going to wear the... Oh, my God, what's wrong with this? It's sticking to my eyes. I can't open my eyelids anymore.
He did beat me in the end.
I am sorry. I seem to have had a little bit too much fun with your cape and cowl.
Do you think when he goes for a wank, he's like, I'm the only one that can beat me. Oh.
He like writes a riddle about it. You're like, come on, dude. Go to the place where I beat the most meat. You're like, ah!
You're en suite? All right, I'll go there.
Well, Batman does go full method actor in this. Like, he like completely just owns that role as Yosek, doesn't he? He's like a method actor in that whole costume. Forget.
That motherfucker's a master of disguise, so...
That's true. We don't see that a lot, do we? So it was cool to see him do that.
It's better than his, like, hey, I'm a guy from the streets guy.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
And I eat creatine and work out 7 times a day, but I'm just a guy from the streets. Oh!
I thought the ending was a bit like the Saw movies, like, you know, Jigsaw, where... you know when like Batman's like, I am going to wear them, and then he's like, dun 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 dun. I was waiting for the music to be like, dun 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 dun, because it's like,
is that the Saw music or something?
Yeah, it's like the big reveal music.
Ah, yes, the iconic Saw music that we all know off the top of our heads. There's the Indiana Jones theme. There's Jurassic Park. Anything by John Williams, and of course the theme of Saw.
I think it's pretty
composed by.
Oh, I don't know who composed it. Really don't.
I mean, you love it, so.
Shut up, buddy.
Composed by. The classic Saw theme, you know. When you buy a CD, you get, like, the theme from Jaws, Star Wars, all of John Williams' tracks, and then the Saw theme.
It's all John Williams? That's all you're quoting? You don't have anybody else?
Yeah. Oh, what's his name? The I'm German as fuck guy, Hans Zimmer. There
we go. What about Danny
Elfman? Hans Zimmer!
Danny Elfman.
Oh, yeah, the elf man.
The elf man. Hello, I'm the elf man. You don't know it all like that.
And, of course, the famous composer that made the theme for Saw, that we all know off the heads.
Yeah, his
Saw,
name.
Saw, it is Saw. No! I'm in the room and I've been not dead the whole time. I've got cancer and I play with dolls on tricycles because this is the Saw. Saw!
Okay, I'll put it out to the listeners or watchers now as we do video. Does anybody, like, does people think that that is a commonly known track? Like, if they hear that, they're like, oh,
well,
that's the Saw thing.
It is for me. No, I mean, it is for me. You're the one questioning it. I think it's, like,
okay.
Iconic.
Well, I thought it was a very Saw
ending.
Because
how many times
ending?
Have you gone and watched Saw? The famous movie Saw?
The first one?
Yeah, I mean, you rewatch it all the time, right? Jurassic Park. Jaws, Saw.
I've watched it quite a few times over it's, yeah. When it's been on.
Wow, like 3 times, right? Classic.
But it's a huge franchise, and that song is used in every single one of them.
Every single one. Every one. Is. And it when is. It comes in, people go, oh boy, that guy's the Saw theme.
Such an ass. All right, moving on. What do you think about the music in this episode? Did you notice the music?
I didn't listen to a single bit of it, no.
It was kind of like, I didn't really notice much either, but I did hear this like, ding, 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 ding. It was kind of like this like melody that was sort of playful and like, ooh, he's, you know, mysterious, Wormwood, right at the start. That's the only thing I really noticed. Otherwise, I was just like, ah, it's just kind of blends into the background. But at the start of this episode, Wormwood leads McWhirter to the medieval mini-golf themed he leads McWhirter to the medieval mini golf themed like amusement park, and I was like, another very specific Gotham themed attraction. But like,
yeah, this... well, they pop up and they shut down, right? Like, there's just like this one businessman that keeps being like, I'm gonna make a new thing, and it just keeps failing and failing.
Well,
and...
I was wondering because another thing that I was kind of not a huge fan of about Wormwood was every one of his death traps was an amusement park. That was like his MO. And I was like, first of all, again, how many Gotham amusement parks are there? There's like Train World, there's the mini golf, like medieval place, and obviously the Wax Museum makes sense. Hey,
it's like Dubai, man. You go out there and there are amusement parks everywhere.
Well, I think that Wormwood is the one responsible for creating all of these ones that open and close, because he puts these death traps in there and then he just fucks off and he leaves them, so the next day they could come into work and like a kid's in a sand trap, another one's melting under a 20,000 watt bulb, you know what I mean? Like, help me, why are you doing this to me? I paid money to be here.
I felt so bad for whoever sculpted all those things. It was clearly in a back room of stuff that was being worked on, and you saw everything on the shelf, like the head, the hand and stuff, and he puts the lamp on it, all fucking melts. I just picture the guy that next day being like, all right, we're launching in 3 days, folks. Good thing I spent all last week staying up all night, every night. Oh my god, it's all melting. I'm ruined.
It's just a puddle of mud.
Oh, this is depression. Oh, this is anxiety. I'm gonna kill myself.
And then it shuts down the next day, and it's just another closed amusement park.
Yeah. Then Wormwood's like, yes, more death traps for me to build with my lamps with toxic gas in them.
Exactly. Again, like his traps were too elaborate to make sense. Mm-hmm. Along with the fact that Batman just strolled in every time, and like, I guess because he's playing Wormwood, he felt like
Wormwood's not that intelligent, and Batman is showing it to you.
Yeah, true. So I love a Batman and Gordon office meet, like when they meet in the the office. But it always reminds me of James Bond, like when he meets with M at the start of every movie, you know what I mean? And M's like, here's the briefing. So I kind of got that vibe, which I was like, this is cool, and I was sinking into it. But then I realized, like, it's very rude of Batman to just, like, walk over to Gordon's filing cabinet and just, like, take a file out.
Yeah, he's like, what are you doing, mate?
Yeah.
That's confidential.
Exactly. And he's like, I'll just help myself. Yeah.
It's like just nudes of, like, Poison Ivy and, like, Harley Quinn, like... These are all nudes, huh? He's like, that's my extremely confidential file cabinet. Oh, it's Riddler as well. And, oh, Killer Croc, huh? I'm a guy of interesting taste. What can I say?
He goes into the fridge, like, helps himself, and Gordon's like, hey, that's my last Coke, motherfucker. Do you think that's why Gordon created the bat signal? Because he'd be like, I can't have this motherfucker in my office anymore. Yeah. I need him up on the rooftop.
Man, I work fucking hard. There's no budget at the police station. I have to bring in my own snacks and my own wank file cabinets, all right? He makes a big mess. He's like, what? Your butler's going to clean up for you, right? There's a butler at the police station, right? Police station butler?
Imagine if Batman created a signal for Gordon when he wants to speak to him. It's just like a giant mustache in the sky. People are looking at the sign like, Slugman? Who's that for?
I am wet. I am in your garden. I am Slugman.
At the society dinner, we first meet Yosek, and he gets up and has the most aggressive smiley handshake with the woman that introduces him. That lasted for like a good 2 seconds. I was like, that was weird. And then the next scene is really ridiculous because Batman like swings down from a rope, swings around the room, brings him through a cake, and then like goes underneath the ceiling. And his rope like changes angle, and it was like he was on some like pulley system, like in a play or something, you know, like he was going. I was like, where is that point where the rope was still able to like swing around?
He lifts up this like 350-pound man, no problemo, with like one arm. Like, come on, you're coming with me. I'm like, I don't care how much you work out, Batman. That's not easy to do.
No, definitely not. So yeah, that was a bit weird to see him just grab him like he weighs like nothing, like a balloon.
Yeah, it was like swinging like a fucking pizza he was making. Like, hey, up, give me what you know.
As a James Bond fan, though, I wondered if this scene is an ode to The Living Daylights, because John Rhys-Davies is in that film as well. as a character, where you can be like fall asleep, but there's a scene where his character gives a speech at a fundraising crowd and gets interrupted by James Bond from like above him, and he gets shot. And it was very much the same style. You're such a prick. Why can't I like something and share what I like with you, huh?
Oh, James Bond's the coolest.
All right.
James Bond is like what all like sad men find cool.
What? Why are you being so mean?
That was too mean. I take it back. I take it back.
That's staying in as well.
You like your James Bond. It's fine.
I do. And I noticed it was similar to a person who plays a character in this who also happens to be in that movie. And it was the same scene. So I was like, oh, that might be an ode.
That's great. Wow. You know, it very well could be. And of course, the theme at the point, right? What did it sound like? What did that theme sound like?
The James Bond theme or Saw?
No, the Saw theme. It sounded like the Saw theme.
Bum, definitely bum, an ode to Saw. Bum, 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 bum.
Sing it.
Da-na-na.
Oh, da-na-na.
Yeah.
I'm the soul guy.
Na-na-na.
Gonna cut you into pieces, make you choose heroin needles. Yeah.
Gonna leave a bunch of clues at the crime scene. Da-na-na.
I'm also at the crime scene the whole time.
Well, we get a Batman interrogation scene, and I love that. I love we haven't had that in a while, where he just like creates some sort of scary death trap for the. He kind of like Wormwood in that situation. He's like, "I'm going to put you in a death trap. You better tell me what I want to know, otherwise you're going to die." But I felt so bad for Yosef because he's just hanging from his red suspenders off a fucking billboard.
Good quality suspenders.
Yeah, I guess so. But Batman stretched them out. He's never going to be able to wear them again. You see how loose they were when he dropped them on the ground?
They're done.
Yeah. He's like, these are my favorite red suspenders. Yosek hands Wormwood the picture of Batman, and he's like, I want his cape and gown. And I was like, that looks like a cool poster that I want on my wall, like artwork from the show or something. Like, did you see that thing? It was like Batman looking over his shoulder, and it was like a candid shot.
Well, Batman technically did give it to him because he was disguised as that guy. So do you think, like, he was like, Alfred, get a cool shot of me, okay? Ready? Yes. I look cool?
Yeah.
Oh, yes, sir. You look really cool. You almost look as cool as James Bond. Oh, wow. That is pretty cool. All right. Get my good side. What's that song here in the background? Banana. No. Oh, the Saw theme. Oh, turn it up, Alfred. We're going to get a real good snap now.
Oh, God. And then Yosek's like, I want you to frame this and put it up on my wall. And then Wormwood just rips it up. And he's like, no, that was signed by Bruce Timm.
That was signed by Bruce Wayne. Why? Because he's a really cool guy. He's kind of like Gotham's James Bond.
Totally not me, by the way.
Yeah. He's handsome. He's into you, by the way. He wants to wood your worm, if you know what I'm saying.
So we get the bat signal, and Gordon asks Batman if he knows what the riddle means, and Batman just ignores him, walks past him, walks to the edge of the building, and the most judgmental, demeaning tone says, don't you know what it means? And then jumps off the roof.
Yeah. Don't you know, mate? I'm the chief of police, are we? Oh, I'm the Commissioner Gordon, am I? Oh, the top... Oh, fuck off, mate, you prick. You dumbass.
I love how he's got total
Batman,
total Cockney Batman.
You don't fucking know, mate.
Well, first off, I think Batman didn't know the answer either. And he was just...
Yeah. Oh, he's like, what do you think it is? I don't know. Do you know? Well, yeah, of course I know. I'm the world's greatest... You don't know? It's an easy one.
Like, I've done that when I feel like someone's put me on the spot and I don't know the answer, but I don't want to feel stupid. So I'm just like, nah, I know. I'm not going to tell you, though. You know, like, that's the type of tone he took.
Anybody that says, I know, I'm not going to tell you, does not know, ever. Yeah, like, if you're ever in that scenario and someone says, I know, I'm just not going to tell you, they don't know. They have no idea.
Yeah. I think he went back to the Batcave and him and Alfred spent a good hour Googling it and trying to figure it out, right?
Alfred, I got another one for you. Ooh, good. It's like Alfred loves the riddles. He's like, ooh, right. Okay, I'm ready. What is it?
But if Batman did know the answer, the fact that he didn't tell Gordon is just so rude and hilarious. Like, Gordon must be like, why do I include him in anything? He's such a dickhead. He just he takes my stuff and he just fucks off and leaves me with nothing.
Drinks my full fat Coca-Cola in my mini fridge. I was saying, I need the blood sugar at 1 a.m. when I'm doing a case file. And also, Batman like could have probably asked for some backup because they were all involved. Like, hey, if I get caught, but then again, since it plays that he was supposed to get caught, I guess he doesn't need the backup. So
yeah, do you think Gordon knew he was playing Yosek? I guess he didn't, because
no, he did, because this was their plan. They said we got to find something that sticks to him.
I guess, but then why? I guess they still have to solve the riddles.
They have to solve where he is.
Yeah. They still have to follow and pretend like they're not in on it. Yeah, that's a good point. But then why not tell Gordon? Because if you're both in on it, he knows you're playing Yosek. Be like, oh, this riddle means this, so he's going to send me there.
I think Batman was just having fucking fun this episode, right?
Like, he was.
Like, he had a big old smile when he pulled that fat guy up and, like, flew around with him. And, like, he, like, was up against a villain that he knew was not going to be very tough for him. Like, he beat his first one immediately. And I feel like, look, the thing about it is, think about it. Batman could have just gone, oh no, save the woman in the first one. He could have gone back and they could have done the whole reveal at the end. But I feel like Batman was like, let's see what this motherfucker has. This first one, I'm actually going to try to escape. And he does. He's like, all right, that was fairly easy. And he's like, oh, hologram, interesting, pretty cool. Yeah. Like, I just feel like he was just playing with it, right? Like, he's just...
Do you think the hologram was one of those things for him where he's just like, oh, my interest is piqued because that's something you don't see every day, and like continue to want to pursue it?
And also, I love that, like, even though he was like, oh, I guess you weren't as confident, Batman, because you had like the fake cowl underneath, like the Zorro mask. But like, what I love is Batman's like, no, motherfucker, I knew that I was going to have to give you my cape and cowl. So that's why
it's the
I'm
plan.
This Zorro mask. And I'm like, I love shit like that. Like, that's why I think this episode's fun, because Batman like, yeah, let's fucking fuck around and see what happens.
Bam, 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 bam.
I am Wormwood. I am Wormwood, the greatest Batman villain.
No one said that ever out loud.
I have the best Batman theme.
So Batman throws a batarang precisely at the right angle and speed to stop those trap bars.
Hell yeah, he does, because he's the fucking Batman, baby.
That was like next level accuracy. But then he tries like pushing the window up more so he can escape. And I'm like, dude, there's so much room for you to get through there. He even does
a tight squeeze.
Later on, he goes, and then he gets out. Like, he has one little, like, oh,
he's gonna get past those fucking beefs on his chest.
The boulders for shoulders.
His big fat bat tits, he's gotta get through them.
So what did you think of the woman being a hologram? Did you like that whole thing?
I did, because I was thinking, but he was like, ooh, that's different.
I did not like the whole scene with Wormwood talking to Yosek on the payphone, because the shot choices I thought were weird. The animation was strange in this episode. There were some shots where I was like, there's a shot from the drinks cabinet. It was like through the glass at one point, watching Wormwood and Yosek at the end. And I was like, that's a cool shot. But there are other shots that were so strange and odd to me. And the color gradient changes at one point when Yosek's on the phone with Wormwood. Like, Wormwood, like, shouts something and it just goes, like, grainy and, like, almost like a sandy yellow for, like, a brief second. And then it drops back to normal again. And then Yosek hangs up and Wormwood says, well, way too quickly. Like,
super quick, yeah.
His reaction is like...
Anyway, and as I was like, well, like, the moment he hangs up, yeah.
Yeah.
I think they must have cut it like they were trying to cut it into the time.
Yeah, but they wasted so much time at the end of this episode with that fucking gym fight.
Like, I liked the gym fight.
Did you? I never want to see Batman have a sword fight with, like, giant dumbbells. Like,
it wasn't a sword fight. It's more like Robin Hood and Little John fighting on, like,
the river in
the bridge over the river, yeah, and the ting, 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 ting.
I thought that was so stupid, that whole sequence. And, like... You know Yosek's never used that fucking gym, right? Like, that thing's just been collecting dust.
My wife told me to install it. I can install it, doesn't mean I'll use it. I go in there to eat snacks and cry.
Yeah, in like his one square hot tub. Like, did you see that? It was like a little pool.
And it's deep.
Yeah, it's really deep.
He's still like tits above, like on it as well. Not deep enough. His tits are just floating on the top of it.
Oh, he's pushing it down. Yeah. I have to take control.
When did I get so fat?
It's like, you have a gym. Ah, no.
There's also a moment when Batman has him on his suspenders. He goes like, oh, and a word of advice about your health, Joseph, or whatever his name is. I was like,
in my head, I was like, here we go. Here comes like a fat joke. But he just said, take a vacation. And I feel like even him was like, I thought you were going to say something really hurtful just then. I'm glad you didn't. Honestly, the fact that these suspenders are keeping me alive is making me feel really good right now.
Yeah, it's true. I thought he was going to make a fat joke as well, but Batman's above that, I guess. He's just like, you know you're fat. I don't have to tell you.
I get it, man. We all got problems.
Yeah, just get out of town, all right? I got to pretend to
be here. My parents were killed in an alleyway. You eat too much sandwiches. I get it. It's fine.
Bruce Wayne commits so hard to the method of being the Yosik role that he starts like overeating and he gets fat. And then it's over and he's like, now what do I fucking do? I can't even get into the bat suit anymore.
Whoopsie.
More like Fat Man, sir. Alfred, no fat jokes.
That's why I said no full fat cokes in the back cave, sir. You are the full fat coke in the back cave now, sir.
So Batman meets with Gordon on the rooftop ledge. So I guess that's him still banned from his office because he wouldn't allow him in. And they're reading the next riddle from Wormwood. Who's on like
Wormwood? Wormwood, Kevin L.
And Wormwood has left like all of these, like the next riddle on the billboard. And yeah. I was like, I guess he's tired of doing the newspaper clippings. Like he ran out of time and he like was
takes
in a rush.
Fucking ages.
But also, painting a riddle on a billboard right next to the police station was a really risky move by him to do that.
Because he thinks he's like untouchable and like he's the smartest guy.
You are the Wormwood super fan. You love this character. You're like, number one, baby, there's Wormwood and then the Joker. That's how I go with Batman villains. Yeah.
That's just Wormwood. Wormwood, Saw theme, James Bond. Done.
Dun, dun, dun.
My three favorite things.
Oh, God. So what do you think of the whole Wax Museum death trap scene?
Yeah, it's fine. Reminds me of House of Wax a little bit.
That's what I thought you were going to say, because it reminded me of that as well. Surely a node. I did find the whole like, oh, your belt is now ruined because it's got some wax on it. I'm like, how? Is it really
that ruined? Yeah, no, he's like, oh, your weapons have wax on them. I'm like, the belt has wax on it.
Yeah.
Also, it is pathetic when he chucks that bat belt, just goes like, plonk, off the the light.
The light, yeah.
Yeah.
But then it breaks a window in the next scene when he throws it, so I guess he like threw it with a bit more oomph, but
with gusto.
But Alfred is not going to be pleased when Batman comes home with no cape and cowl and he's covered in wax.
What have you been up to, sir?
It's all part of the plan, Alfred, I swear. Now get me my fat suit and my Yosik mask,
and
please.
My full fat coke. Have you earned your full fat coke today, sir? Yes, I was at the gym, actually, thank you, Alfred.
Fighting a villain. I wasn't working out, but I was using the equipment.
Well, fighting a villain is a workout. You had another full fat coke at Commissioner Gordon's, didn't you, sir?
No,
he called me. He told me.
He burps. He's like, no, I'm sorry.
There is a coke stain on your outfit, sir. I can see it. It's down the whole bat symbol.
He's just chugging them.
You have a problem, sir.
So what did you think of the classic angry growl noise that Batman makes that we've always remembered?
Not as funny as I remember it being.
Oh, really? You didn't?
Maybe it was because the first time I saw it was ridiculous.
Because it's so unexpected, yeah.
But now that I know that Batman was like fully in on it, I just feel like that he was like still having fun there of like being like,
pretending.
Oh, he might still hear me or something, so... Ah, I'm so angry.
What does it sound like when someone outsmarts me? I don't know because I'm the smartest guy here. Ah.
I really biffed this one.
I love how Biff just gotten into this podcast now. Every episode, someone at least biffs something.
I biffed it big time. I biffed it when I drank a full fat Coke at Gordon's as well. Whoopsie, I biffed it.
So Wormwood brings the Cape and Cow to Yosek and reveals the plan behind the bearer bonds, whereabouts and how he's planning on selling them. And just like a Saw movie, the twist ending is revealed. Dun 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 dun. What are you expecting?
Have you ever seen the film James Bond? The film James Bond? I have seen the film James Bond. They made one, right? Yes.
I was in one too.
You were in one of them or the one? The one. James Bond movie. It came out.
One word's gone at this point.
Hello.
Oh no, my plan is. He's still method. He's doing Yosek. He's like.
These full fat cokes are going to my head.
I really biffed that one.
Oh no. Yosef biffs it again.
So. Did you remember that twist ending from this episode?
No, I completely forgot it. So I thought it was really fun.
So you liked the whole, like, it was Batman.
Saw it coming, though.
Did you?
Yeah, when he's like kept being like, ah, then you will tell me like how you did this. I'm like, oh, they're trying to get something to stick to him. So yeah.
Yeah, true. I don't know. It was like, as a whole, the episode didn't like really let me down, but there was just a few things where, like I said, ultimately, if it was a Riddler episode, I would have enjoyed it more just because it was such a better plot for that character.
Every Coke has their knockoff, like Pepsi.
There's
Woodworm.
So much of that running through this episode. We've got so many Coke references.
Woodworm is
Woodworm?
The Pepsi.
That's the knockoff of Wormwood. Yeah. It's Woodworm.
That's like the, yeah, like the, what's it, the... RC Cola of that.
I'm Woodworm.
So Wormwood is Pepsi, yeah. And Woodworm is the RC Cola.
Yeah.
Okay. And then Riddler is Coca-Cola. Classic Coca-Cola.
Full
I like
fat,
it.
Baby. I'm going to need to drink a Coca-Cola. I think I've got a mini can in my garage fridge. I'm gonna actually have one after this.
And as a cheeky end to this episode, Batman leaves Wormwood a nerdy little rhyming riddle along with his own souvenir cape and cowl.
He's having fun, man.
He really did have fun. Yes, he did. You're right.
He's like, buddy, I was way smarter than you the whole fucking time.
I love how Batman signs his letters with a bat signal as well. I've always loved that. Like, that's in Batman Returns when he leaves it for the Penguin as well. Mm-hmm. And do you think that Batman, like, has a stencil? Or like a stamp? Or do you think he actually takes the time to draw it and colour it in?
No, he has it printed out. Like, I'm sure the Bat computer has a printer.
Yeah, I guess it does, yeah. But I don't know. I just love, like, his own personal, or like, that's me. There's my little Bat signal. That's my brand right there.
Oh, yeah, we know he is a brand whore. Bat everything.
He is a brand whore, yeah.
Bat phone. Bat pole.
Bat microwave.
Bat dick. Bat cola.
Bat cola. He takes over. He's like,
it's
now
just Coke.
Okay, so that's the end of the episode. Does it make your top three?
No.
No, me either. Not that I was expecting it to. Not that I was expecting it to. I said that weird as well.
I felt like you went full posh to like, don't fuck up saying it again.
And I did.
I really biffed it.
What about ranking out of 10?
A 7 out of 10. Maybe a 6.5 out of 10.
I was going to give it a 6.5 out of 10.
But then a 5 out of 10 is a halfway, so a 6.8.
Oh, wow, okay. I thought you were going to go like 7.5.
Yeah, I'll give it a 7.
Yeah,
I'll give it a solid 7.
I'm going 6.5 on this one.
It's 6.75 then.
Yes, there you go. That's the ranking, the official ranking we do here on this pod. Combined efforts. Okay, so that was the Cape and Cow conspiracy. We'll never see Wormwood or Woodworm or any of those people ever again.
What a shame.
But next up, the episode we're going to review next, is Robin's Reckoning Part 1, which is the episode that won an Emmy for this show.
Yeah.
Heart of Ice did as well, but this was the next one. And we've had the writer of that episode on the show, Mr. Randy Rogel. So that would be awesome. If anybody hasn't heard our chat with Randy, you can go back and check that out, where we talk about his time working on Batman, writing Robin's Reckoning, as well as writing Batman Sub-Zero and the plot that almost got made for that movie, including another villain that was not Mr. Freeze. So that was a really cool chat with him. Maybe I can reach out to Randy and see if I can get any like little bits of information that I include on the next episode. No promises, but maybe. All right, it's our first game of the day, which is Riddle Me This, William.
Focus! Focus! Focus!
But you'll still have to answer the riddle.
I can't believe his luck.
Oh, darn. Now there's a riddle for you.
A lucky guess, that's all.
Now, no sore losers.
This is a game I play with my brother where I ask him three questions on the episode we just watched to make sure he was paying attention. Feel free to play along at home or in your car or wherever you are. Question one, are you ready?
Are you ready?
I take that as a yes. Okay, Batman knows... Sorry. Question one, Batman...
His nose.
No. Question one, Batman knows who Wormwood is when meeting with Gordon at the beginning. But what other name does Batman know Wormwood by? He goes, Wormwood, also known as... Blah, 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 blah.
Really cool guy.
Yep, that's it. Nailed. The really cool guy. Your favorite Batman villain.
Death Trapper.
No, that's close, because he does say known for death traps. Or Gordon says that. The answer is the Interrogator.
Oh, really? Didn't pay attention to that.
Question two. Batman mentions that the bat signal might get Gordon in trouble with who?
The DA's office?
That's close, but it's not the DA. It's another person in Gotham.
The budget. The city...
So an individual in Gotham.
Governor.
Close, what's below a governor?
Mayor.
Yay, we got there in the end. He's going to get in trouble with the mayor. And question three, how many watts was the halogen bulb that Wormwood shines onto Batman in the Wax Museum?
2,000.
Add a zero.
And zero.
Yeah, 2,000, the well-known number.
That's the year, right? It's 20,000.
20,000 is correct. And a bonus, according to Gordon, what word should you look up in the dictionary if you want to get to know Josiah Wormwood?
It was something like slime ball or something
so
like that.
It's slir, but it's not slime.
Sloth, slime ball, slug,
what do you? What's a
slime?
What's a name for what you go down, like a water slide? It's
slide.
Yeah, but no, you're not going to look up slide, are you? You want to get to know Josiah Wormwood? Look up the word slide.
Slime. Slippery.
Yeah, slippery is the right answer. Well done.
Slippity-doo-dah.
Okay, I don't know how many you got right there, but let's say you got them all right.
All of them. Every single one.
Yeah, I'm feeling really good.
I'm going to trumpet. I got everyone right. Every question. I got the questions right. You just said them wrong. That's my terrible trump.
This is like the Saw movie.
Everyone knows that the Saw movie is the greatest theme. You know, they say John Williams made the best themes. No, I don't think so. It's the Saw movies. Classic.
I don't know who the composer is, but still, that's the best theme.
I know. I'm just not going to tell you.
All right, speaking of music, it's our next category, which is Ace the Bat Sound. This is a game that we play with you, the listener. Each week, I'll play a brief music clip from the show, and you have to guess who the character is or the title of the episode that the music belongs to. The answer to each clip will be revealed in the following episode. So last week, we had this music clip.
Thank you.
And if you still don't know, here's a clue of a voice clip from that episode.
No!
Jimmy!
Barbara?
Dad! You're all right!
The bus went down okay?
Yes. Get some rest now.
Gotta keep fighting. Never stop. What I try to live by. Maybe if I'd been younger, could have been like you. Always wanted to be a hero.
You are a hero, Jim.
All right, I use clips from this episode, a particular one where Batman's, there's like a zoom in on his face as he's like, and he's all shocked. And it is the episode I Am the Knight, where Gordon is injured and Batman squares off against the Jazz Man. Skit, skat, skit, skat. Another.
Scooby Bow.
This is going to be another villain of yours where you're like, that's my favorite Batman villain. It's Josiah Wormwood and then the Jazz Man. Yeah.
I want my new Dark Justice League to be like the Interrogator, the Jazz Man.
What if the Jazz Man does the Saw theme on the like the stand up bass? He's like, bom, bom, bom,
bom, bom, bom, bom, bom, if I knew bom, the theme, I would think that that's a really funny version of it. But sadly, no one knows what that fucking theme is.
I really hope people write in there like, I know the theme. Everyone knows that theme. Will.
Yeah, everyone's like, I know the theme. But again, I'm just not going to tell you about it.
Okay, here's the musical clip for next week's episode where you'll have to name the episode that the music is from. All right, no clues really I can give away, but it is potentially one of my favorite episodes to do with a female villain. That's all I'm going to say. And we'll leave it at that. Okay, it's our final category of the day, which is You've Got Mail.
Oh, by the way, this came for you an hour ago by messenger.
You've Got Mail.
Thank you, Alfred.
This is where I take all of your comments, emails, messages, and especially podcast reviews and read them out on the pod. First up, we've got Greg Nielsen, who left us £5 in the tip jar, which is super nice. He said, hey, it's Greg Nielsen, not Neeson, as PayPal had it incorrect.
So yeah.
Thank you for the correction. He says, I want to encourage all listeners to donate and support to this podcast. Thank you, Alex and Will, for your time and effort. Cheers, Greg.
Thank you, Greg. And Greg also reached out to me via email looking for outbreaks. So thank you for your email, Greg. And yeah, again, if you guys want to pick up Outbreaks, April 15th, it's coming to Kickstarter. That's the place to get it. Ships worldwide.
Absolutely. Yeah. Thank you, Greg, for leaving us a tip jar and keeping the lights on in the pod cave here.
Thank you so much.
We had lots of great comments on our Selena Love Glove video that was a clip taken from our Perchance to Dream. But my favorite one by far is from Super Luigi 64, who simply says, perchance to cream.
Yep, that's good.
It's very, very good.
Good job, Luigi. Yeah, yahoo!
Next up, we got Jar Jar Binks. Jar Jar Binks is writing in. Misa said, no, I'm not going to do that.
No, go on.
Misa, I think it's so cool that you are comic book artist. I can't do it. I sound artist. What is that? It's like going... Miss Piggy! That's Miss Piggy!
No, just do it as Miss Piggy then.
I think it's so cool that you're a comic book artist. I love to hear your perspective on art styles and lighting from this show. Love what you guys do.
Thank you, Miss Piggy.
You're welcome.
Do you know, it's like, you're not terrible at impressions, but they're not always your forte. Except you do loads of Muppet impressions for some reason.
I can do Muppets.
You do a very good Kermit. You do Miss Piggy. Like, yeah. I'm sure there's other Muppets you could do as well.
Yeah, probably. Yeah, I do all right with Muppets. That's my safe space for impressions. But thank you, Jar Jar Binks. And yeah, he thinks it's really cool. You're a comic book artist and he loves to hear your perspectives on art styles and all that stuff. And of course, he loves what we do on the show. So thank you for writing in.
Thank you, Jar Jar. Jar Jar, run, Jar Jar! Write us an email, Jar Jar. I mean, I'm just doing an alien. That's the way they did it in the movie. So
my lord, what about the Senate?
No, that's too far.
What?
Can't
they,
that
that's
one.
How they do it. Well, debatable. That one's definitely staying in.
This has been a great podcast. My brother's now been cancelled for doing a racist alien from Star Wars.
That I'm only impersonating.
He also did Jar Jar Binks as well. So, I mean, he should be, you know, those are two very cancelable impressions.
Misa gonna be cancelled?
No, Misa stay.
Next up, we got Ali Geek Cosplay, who says, "Hey, Alex and Will, just listened to the Clock King episode and have loved the BTS show when I was younger. I'm finding this pod has been amazing. It was so fun going along with the show with you guys and being able to learn things that I didn't know. I've told a bunch of my friends about this pod and they've started listening too." Awesome. Just wanted to say your pod sparked back up the love for BTS, and listening to this at work has made my workday so much fun. Keep up the great work. Oh, thank you, Ali Geek.
Thank you very much.
Really nice indeed. Next up, we got Batboy, who says, "Loving that the podcast is now video, guys. I noticed that Alex was wearing a hat in the Mad as a Hatter episode review and thought that was a very clever little nod. I feel like the Dark Knight detective himself discovering this little Easter egg. Then I watched the Perchance to Dream episode where Mad Hatter shows up, and to my disappointment, Alex was not wearing a hat."
Because he's not as clever as you think.
No, <That's why. laughs> no, I know the answer. I'm just not going to tell you.
There's a reason I didn't do it, because he's barely in the episode. So.
But now I feel like I'm going to have to wear a hat every time it's a Mad Hatter episode. Going to have to do that.
You already missed one, so...
Next up, we've got Cookie, who said, "Just started listening to the podcast, and I absolutely love the show. Big Batman fan here, and I also love Batman Forever." Me too, Cookie. Got a soft spot for Batman
Forever. We all know the theme song to the Saw movies. Jigsaw.
He puts you in a death trap, can't escape.
Heroin needles in my arms. Oh my god, I was a junkie. Wasn't that it?
I think that was it. Yeah, one
something
of them.
Like that.
Yeah, I think that's number two. You might have seen number two
I
as well.
I had to slice through my hand and it was gross. Yeah, that was number two.
Yeah. Next up, returning listener Scotty Holly has written in.
Oh, wee ooh, I look just like Scotty Holly. Shout out to Scotty Holly for being a fucking legend and always backing Outbreaks and super supporting number two, where he got us over the finish line to get that Tony Moore cover. Scotty, I salute you, Mr. Holly. Thank you so much.
Do the too cool dance for Scotty Holly.
That's right. Ooh, Grandmaster Sexy killed himself in a jail cell. He hung himself.
Oh, no, did he really?
Yeah, and he was the son of J.R. No, not J.R. Jerry the King Lawler.
Oh, no, I didn't know all of that.
He hung himself.
This is like a dark twist ending, like my favorite music post for a movie, Saw.
Yeah, he hung himself with his belt because he got busted for something.
Okay.
Scotty Charlie, though. Scotty. I think he just got hired by AEW, and I think he was a firefighter for a while. And he seems like a lovely dude. To me, he's always been the human avatar of Crash Bandicoot.
Yes, that is a really good comparison.
When he looks around at the crowd,
yeah,
he does a little hop. Wow!
Yeah, you can just hear him go, wow! Yeah, I love that. All right, well, another Scotty we love, Scotty Holly. He said, "Hey, lads, after listening to the latest episode, I would like to say that I'm 110% down for a live show. Also, all the talk about cons was wondering if Will would be attending any cons in the UK this year. I knew he was at an MCM one in London a few years back, and I sadly ended up missing him. So hopefully see you live soon and keep up the good work."
Yeah, I just got invited to the MCM this weekend, last minute, but it was too last minute, so I'm not going to that one. Though Tom Savini's going to be there, and I'm a huge Tom Savini fan, so I'm pretty sad about that. Do you know who Tom Savini is?
Nope.
He is.
Oh, he wrote the Saw theme.
Yeah, he did. He wrote the Saw theme. Yeah. Yes, exactly. That's why I had to meet him. No, he's a special effects guru. He created all the effects on Friday the 13th, Dawn of the Dead, Day of the Dead. You know him. He's in From Dusk Till Dawn as like the guy with the dick gun.
Oh, yeah, I know who that is. Yeah, okay.
He's a very famous guy, but he's a personal hero of mine and fascinating dude. So, and he directed that remake of Night of the Living Dead, which you enjoyed as well.
I did. Okay, cool. Yeah. Did not know
but
that.
No, I might be at Thought Bubble this year. I don't know. Usually I only go to conventions when people invite me. If I have to book myself, it's a bit of a faff. So,
okay, well, hopefully you'll show up to a con, but hopefully we'll also have enough people to do a live show and we'll get to meet Scotty Holly in person. That would be great.
That's right.
Thank you for writing in, Scotty. And for all the other listeners that wrote in and said, cannot wait for a live show, like Harry Baldock wrote in and said that. And everybody else, really appreciate that, and let's hope we get enough and we can do it in June. All right, and our final listener write-in of the day is from the listener Jack-Jack. J-A-K, J-A-K, Jack-Jack. Jack-Jack has said, hey guys, just wanted to say I love the pod and all that you guys do. I've been a fan ever since I saw the Big Bad Schoolyard Hard video on TikTok. Alfred's Weed Manor podcast had me in tears recently, and it also
Weed Manor, bro.
And it also made me wonder who else would Alfred have as a guest to get high with on his show. Keep up the great work, you guys make my week. Who would be the next guest for Weed Manor that Alfred gets high with and like goes
probably gets poison ivy's like time for the true stickiest of the ick.
Yeah, that's true.
The supplier of all weed in Gotham City.
He's like, didn't you turn me into a tree once?
I was high as shit that day. Oh, man. Those cookies you made? Oh, those cookies.
Put that cookie down now.
I like that Gordon's like the co-host in the background. Like, I can't feel my face.
Yeah, he's like doing the soundboard, but he's fucking it all up. Yeah.
What does this do? I couldn't solve the riddle, and I got fired from the police department. So now I'm the sound guy on this podcast.
What's in this fridge? You got any full fat cokes?
Batman keeps drinking all of mine. I fucking knew it.
Okay, and if you enjoy this podcast, please be sure to leave us a 5-star review on whatever you're listening to us on right now, as it helps us back grapple up the charts and attract both new listeners and guests. And if you leave a review, we might read it out on the pod at the end of each episode. And please subscribe or follow us on your preferred podcast catcher of choice, if you haven't yet already. Also, you can email us at batmantaspod@gmail.com, or follow us on social media at batmantaspod on Instagram, TikTok, Facebook, YouTube, everywhere but the app formerly known as Twitter, which is at BatmanTASPod1, and that's because why?
Because we are the number one Batman, the animated series podcast.
You're goddamn right. And in the description of this episode, you'll find a tip jar where you can give to us any amount of money you can afford to give if you so wish. As we aren't billionaire playboy philanthropists, any amount you can afford to give us is not necessary, but always greatly appreciated. And finally, you can follow me everywhere at Chef Alex Robson, and you can follow Will on his socials to stay up to date on what he's working on and get a glimpse into the workday of a comic book artist and writer. Will, where can our listeners find you?
You can find me at Robson Inc, and that's Robson INK anywhere on the internet. That's my handle everywhere. I'm on YouTube. I'm mostly active on Twitter, and I post on Facebook, etc., etc. And if you want to read a free comic written and drawn by me, you can go to my website, speechcomics.com, read Dead Eye Dick chapter 1 for absolutely free, and then make sure you sign up to the newsletter on my website to get notified when I go live for my next Kickstarter, which is on April 15th for Outbreaks issues 1-3 with cover by co-creator of The Walking Dead, Tony Moore. Oh yeah, I'm doing cool shit over there, baby. Yeah, by God.
All right, it's our last chat of the day, which is what you're putting in your holes. Buddy, what are you filling and stuffing and cramming and fucking into those holes and making sure you're getting all the content that your heart desires?
I'm still really consuming the show Bad Friends, though. I mean, the podcast. I'm very much enjoying that. And then also I started watching the classic English show that I've never seen called Gavin and Stacey, which I'm also very much enjoying.
Yeah, I've just recently watched that myself, as we were over in America when that was mostly on TV. Yeah. And kind of the big show, that the comedy show that people were watching. Yeah, it's a good show. Is that it? before I go into mine?
The other thing I was going to say is that I'm going to watch it tonight. It's The Walking Dead, The Ones Who Live. Rick's back, and I'm very much looking forward to it.
Oh, that's on now?
Yeah, I believe it aired last night. So I don't know if it's on Now TV, because who knows, but I will see, and I will watch it tonight regardless, along with the new Curb Enthusiasm.
Disney Plus has all The Walking Dead, so it might be on that.
Yeah, but not all the spin-off shows.
Oh, okay. Oh, interesting. Do you know what? I don't care, but because it's Rick... And it's the first episode. I am slightly intrigued. I kind of miss seeing some zombies from that show.
And the bad guy in the show is the guy from Lost, John, or whatever his name is, the guy who couldn't walk but then was able to walk again. And
bald. I never saw Lost.
He's a terrific, terrific actor. He's in loads of shows I like. What's it called? Like Perpetual Grace Limited.
I know the actor you're talking about. He kind of has a Ben Kingsley vibe to him a little bit, doesn't he?
And he's blue eyes and stuff.
Yeah,
like that.
I know who you're talking about. Yeah,
he acted alongside Ben Kingsley in Perpetual Grace Limited, and it was a brilliant show. They were neck and neck in that. So yeah, I'm looking forward to seeing that.
Bald head to bald head in that one.
That's right. They were just rubbing them together.
I watched the Oscar nominated film Anatomy of a Fall because it's intrigued us both and sounded interesting. And it was. It was like a pretty like raw, realistic take on a murder investigation. That I thought was, or is it murder? It might not be. Yeah, I thought it was really cool and I enjoyed it very much. So I can see why it's up for a bunch of awards. So we enjoyed that, me and the missus. Then I watched Tomorrow Never Dies because I haven't seen that Brosnan Bond film in a really long time.
Oh, you saw James Bond?
I honestly, I've taken a break from Bond for a long time now. I haven't watched a Bond movie.
Well, he's
movie
only got one movie. I mean, it gets tiring when you watch it over and over again.
I watched Tomorrow Never Dies, and man, I know Brosnan gets, a bad rap for the scripts. I mean, he's a fantastic Bond, and people are always like, his scripts fell short. But I think Tomorrow Never Dies is a terrific Bond film.
Didn't we say it's, one of the best ones?
It's one of the best. It's a bit action man-y, but that's what that's what the 90s were anyway, you know what I mean?
Is it with the news mogul? Is it that one?
Yes, yes.
Yeah, that's one of my favorites.
Yeah, when he has the remote control car from his phone and he's in the back seat.
A classic.
What a scene, man. And the intro where he flies the plane with the nuclear missiles.
It's a good one.
It's a really good one.
It's very Roger Moore vibe, that one.
Yes, it does have
this big action set pieces and you end in a scuba place. It's cool.
He's got some great quips in that too.
There's a henchman as well. Like, it is quite a Roger Moore James Bond film.
It is, yeah. It's kind of like A New Spy Who Loved Me.
Which is my favorite one. Yeah. So that's why I probably love Tomorrow Never Dies.
Yeah. Tomorrow Never Dies is a solid Bond film. So really enjoyed watching that again. And I'm also reading season 3 of Batman, The Adventure Continues comic, which is written by Alan Burnett and Paul Dini. As I said previously, I wanted to wait for the whole season 3 to come out in one singular compendium to buy it, which I've done.
Side note, my wife saw the name Paul Dini the other day because she was playing the Batman Arkham games. And she said to me, every time I see his name, I go, oh, Paul Dini. Like, she's a Jawa.
Jawa? Yeah. That's funny.
Paul Dini. Who's your favorite Batman writer, Jawa? Paul Dini.
Yeah, so, I mean, obviously, if you ask the Jawas as well who their favorite musical composed for a movie is.
John Williams.
Sothim.
So themey.
So yeah, I really I'm enjoying reading through there. It's like watching the show, but it's just in comic form, and it's
I really need
great.
To check it out.
Yeah, it's really good stuff, and that's all I'm putting in my holes, bud.
Oh, I read Spawn 350 as well because that was the huge issue that came out. So congratulations to Tom McFarlane for hitting another milestone in the comic book industry.
Yeah, that's a lot. God damn.
I also saw a video of him going through his personal comic book collection. He's got graded Fantastic Four number one, Amazing Fantasy with Spider-Man, Spider-Man number one, like these huge fucking comics. And they were signed by Stan Lee as well. I was like, oh mama.
Oh, wow. Well, fucked up McFarlane then. I know what I meant to tell you. I'm watching the show that you recommended from I'm deep into, like, not deep into season two, but we binged season one over the last, like,
you're
two
into
days.
Season two already?
Into season two.
I had to wait 2 years for season two.
Yeah, I know.
Did you like season one then?
Overall, I did. Like, I never saw...
It's not the greatest show in the world, but
it's fun,
right?
Exactly. I never saw Lost, but I know it's got major Lost vibes to it. The one thing that is annoying is I feel like they keep on adding more mystery and they're not giving any answers.
Lost.
Yeah, and that's annoying because I'm like, I need some things here. Like, we've been drip fed very, very little, and I know I'm a sucker because I'm watching it because I want to find out more, but I don't know if they're ever going to fucking do it.
And that's not the point. Just enjoy the spooks. Like, how much fun was it in season one? Spoiler alert, if no one's seen it. But like the guy, when he has the girl at the window, she's like, just let me in.
Yeah.
And he's like, oh, I would love to. I just can't.
We were like this. We were holding the back of our heads.
Yeah.
And I was like,
such
dude,
a great
you're,
scene.
I was like, you're dead. I kept on being like,
He biffed it so hard.
Yeah. And when her nails like grew on his back, I was like, oh, you're dead.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's good stuff. The creepy smiley guy is like, if you want a Joker, potential Joker, like that's what the Joker should be like on screen. I think so. Like,
he looks just like the Joker from the what's it called, the shitty TV show.
What, the Gotham show? Yeah, yeah. I mean, I guess I see what you mean by that. But at the same time, like, just his, I'm talking about not his exact look, but his presence. Like the way he's moving and smiling. Like when they look up at the stair banisters and he's just looking down
and
smiling.
He peeks over.
That's the Joker, man. I was like, that's what I want to see. Not Barry Keoghan's fucking putty faced McGee. Balding weirdo. God, I hate that so much.
There's a murder in Gotham.
You better not call the Joker.
You better not kill my franchise when you shoot choices. I hate that fucking Batman movie. Terrible. It's a good show. And season two starts to use a lot more practical effects. I don't know how far you are into season two.
Like an episode or two. So, yeah.
But I bet good season finale as well, though, right?
Yeah. When that happened at the end, I was like, okay, I was like, straight to the next one. Let's go.
You're lucky that you got to just go straight to the next one.
Yeah. And then there's a season three coming this year, but they haven't said when. Anyway, that's what I'm doing is from as well. So... Right. For all those listening, again, we might do a live show in June, depending on how much desire is not the word. How much? What's the word I'm looking for? Hype? No.
Desire is fine.
Anyway, if people want to come to London to see a live show of this podcast, will they come? Will they come, William? Will they come?
What are you singing?
The song!
Is that the song theme?
Yes, the song theme. He didn't even know.
Sound like fucking like Hamilton or some lame shit like that. Like, no. I'm a man and I'm growing on an adventure.
Well, okay, anyway. People are like, I ain't going to go see them live now. I don't like the Saw theme.
Come see us live where my brother will sing the theme to Saw. Everyone knows.
We'll watch Almost Got 'Em. It will be in June. It will be in London. If you can make it, message us or email us. All the links are down below, and we would love to be able to do it. So let us know if you want to come. All right. And that's all the time we've got for this week. Join us next time where we'll continue talking all things Batman, the animated series. Until then, I've been Alex Robson.
And I have been Will Robson.
I know, I said that in such a matter-of-fact way. My speech is all over the place today.
Thank you for listening to the podcast.
Toodles!
Bye. One. Poopy buttholes. Butts full of poo. And squirting out the crack.
I think that's... Hang on.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I can hit you. Is it Audacity recording that microphone?
That's what I'm checking.
Do you see the waves going like that when you hit?
Hello, yes, I did. Yeah, we're good.
No, but when you tapped, did it make?
Yes, it made the tappy noise. Yeah, it had the tappy
right.
Waves.
Don't fuck this up. It's important stuff.
I know. It's big picture stuff. Big. Yeah, I'm watching all my audio.
It is a pig picture because we're a couple little pigs over here. I had 2 packets of crisps with my lunch.
you like, and then you watched what's face Yosek hang by his suspenders like a fatty, and you're like, oh, I should put these down.
I didn't think about that at all.
Well, I did.
I had paprika crisps, the Walker's Max or whatever they are, which are nice, packet of those, and then those pickle onion Monster Munch were staring right at me, and I was like, I'm gonna have to down the clown with those.
How was the combo? Did you combine? Because it's like onion
no,
and paprika.
I had the paprika ones first with the sandwich, and then when that was all done, then I moved on to Monster Munch as a little aperitif to my lunch. And then I had what's called a Jive Bar, which is a knockoff Twix, and it's better than Twix. It is.
Well, did you see, I posted a new video review on our YouTube today of our Killer Croc Vendetta episode review.
You know I don't watch that shit.
Well, you usually do, because it's like, you know, with the clips that I put over. It's like the long...
A funny thing.
Yeah, like I've done for Heart of Ice, and like I've done for Christmas with the Joker and Grey Ghost, all that stuff. I did the Vendetta one, and it starts off with you being like, I don't remember much because I was having a great lunch and I missed a few things because I was just in a world of meats and cheeses.
Oh, yeah, that was a good lunch.
Sounds like you, didn't it?
Yeah. Anyway, let's get on with this because we are short on time.
Let's smack this podcast in the face.
All right, mate, calm down.
All right, sorry. I have a riddle. Would you like to do a podcast? Blah, blah, blah.
The answer is no. Yeah. Now let's get on with it.
All right, here we go.